He turned it on his left palm, but nothing came out. He hid the bottle against his knee to shake up the tobacco. That was always the trouble with Okeke's snuff. It very quickly went damp, and there was too much saltpeter in it. Okonkwo had not bought snuff from him for a long time. Idigo was the man who knew how to grind good snuff, but he had recently fallen ill. Low voices, broken now and again by singing, reached Okonkwo from his wives' huts as each woman and her children told folk stories. Ekwefi and her daughter, Ezinma, sat on a mat on the floor. It was Ekwefi's turn to tell a story. "Once upon a time," she began, "all the birds were invited to a feast in the sky. They were very happy and began to prepare themselves for the great day. They painted their bodies with red camwood and drew beautiful patterns on them with uli. Tortoise saw all these preparations and soon discovered what it all meant. Nothing that happened in the world of the animals ever escaped his notice. He was full of cunning. As soon as he heard of the great feast in the sky, his throat began to itch at the very thought. There was a famine in those days, and Tortoise had not eaten a good meal for 2 moons. His body rattled like a piece of dry stick in his empty shell. So he began to plan how he would go to the sky. "But he had no wings," said Ezinma. "Be patient," replied her mother. "That is the story. Tortoise had no wings, but he went to the birds and asked to be allowed to go with them." Page 97. "We know you too well," said the birds when they had heard him. "You are full of cunning, and you are ungrateful. If we allow you to come with us, you will soon begin your mischief." "You do not know me," said Tortoise. "I am a changed man. I have learned that a man who makes trouble for others is also making it for himself." Tortoise had a sweet tongue, and within a short time all the birds agreed that he was a changed man, and they each gave him a feather, with which he made 2 wings. At last the great day came, and Tortoise was the first to arrive at the meeting place. When all the birds had gathered together, they set off in a body. Tortoise was very happy and voluble as he flew among the birds, and he was soon chosen as the man to speak for the party because he was a great orator. "There is one important thing which we must not forget," he said, as they flew on their way. "When people are invited to a great feast like this, they take new names for the occasion. Our hosts in the sky will expect us to honor this age-old custom." None of the birds had heard of this custom, but they knew that Tortoise, in spite of his failings in other directions, was a widely traveled man who knew the customs of different peoples, and so they each took a new name. When they had all taken, Tortoise also took one. He was to be called All of You. At last the party arrived in the sky, and their hosts were very happy to see them. Tortoise stood up in his many-colored plumage and thanked them for their invitation. Page 98. His speech was so eloquent that all the birds were glad they had brought him and nodded their heads in approval of all he said. Their hosts took him as the king of the birds, especially as he looked somewhat different from the others. After kola nuts had been presented and eaten, the people of the sky set before their guests the most delectable dishes Tortoise had ever seen or dreamed of. The soup was brought out hot from the fire, and in the very pot in which it had been cooked. It was full of meat and fish. Tortoise began to sniff aloud. There was pounded yam and also yam pottage cooked with palm oil and fresh fish. There were also pots of palm wine. When everything had been set before the guests, one of the people of the sky came forward and tasted a little from each pot. He then invited the birds to eat. But Tortoise jumped to his feet and asked, "For whom have you prepared this feast?" "For all of you," replied the man. Tortoise turned to the birds and said, "You remember that my name is All of You. The custom here is to serve the spokesman first and the others later. They will serve you when I have eaten." He began to eat, and the birds grumbled angrily. The people of the sky thought it must be their custom to leave all the food for their king. And so Tortoise ate the best part of the food, and then drank 2 pots of palm wine, so that he was full of food and drink, and his body filled out in his shell. The birds gathered round to eat what was left, and to peck at the bones he had thrown all about the floor. Some of them were too angry to eat. They chose to fly home on an empty stomach. Page 99. But before they left, each took back the feather he had lent to Tortoise. And there he stood in his hard shell, full of food and wine, but without any wings to fly home. He asked the birds to take a message for his wife, but they all refused. In the end, Parrot, who had felt more angry than the others, suddenly changed his mind and agreed to take the message. "Tell my wife," said Tortoise, "to bring out all the soft things in my house, and cover the compound with them, so that I can jump down from the sky without very great danger." Parrot promised to deliver the message, and then flew away. But when he reached Tortoise's house, he told his wife to bring out all the hard things in the house, and so she brought out her husband's hoes, machetes, spears, guns, and even his cannon. Tortoise looked down from the sky and saw his wife bringing things out, but it was too far to see what they were. When all seemed ready, he let himself go. He fell and fell and fell until he began to fear that he would never stop falling. And then, like the sound of his cannon, he crashed on the compound. "Did he die?" asked Ezinma. "No," replied Ekwefi. "His shell broke into pieces, but there was a great medicine man in the neighborhood. Tortoise's wife sent for him, and he gathered all the bits of shell and stuck them together. That is why Tortoise's shell is not smooth." "There is no song in the story," Ezinma pointed out. "No," said Ekwefi. "I shall think of another one with a song, but it is your turn now." Page 100. "Once upon a time," Ezinma began, "Tortoise and Cat went to wrestle against yams." No, that is not the beginning. "Once upon a time, there was a great famine in the land of animals. Everybody was lean except Cat, who was fat, and whose body shone as if oil was rubbed on it." She broke off, because at that very moment, a loud and high-pitched voice broke the outer silence of the night. It was Cielo, the priestess of Agbala, prophesying. There was nothing new in that. Once in a while, Cielo was possessed by the spirit of her god, and she began to prophesy. But tonight, she was addressing her prophecy and greetings to Okonkwor, and so everyone in his family listened. The folk stories stopped. "Agbala du, Agbala ikwino," came the voice like a sharp knife, cutting through the night. "Okonkwor, Agbala ikene gyo, Agbala cholu ifu ada ya ezinmo." At the mention of Ezinma's name, Ekwefi jerked her head sharply, like an animal that had sniffed death in the air. Her heart jumped painfully within her. The priestess had now reached Okonkwor's compound and was talking with him outside his hut. She was saying again and again that Agbala wanted to see his daughter, Ezinma. Okonkwor pleaded with her to come back in the morning, because Ezinma was now asleep. But Cielo ignored what he was trying to say, and went on shouting that Agbala wanted to see his daughter. Her voice was as clear as metal, and Okonkwor's women and children heard from their huts all that she said. Okonkwor was still pleading that the girl had been ill of late and was asleep. Ekwefi quickly took her to their bedroom and placed her on their high bamboo bed. Page 101. The priestess screamed. "Beware, Okonkwor," she warned. "Beware of exchanging words with Agbala. Does a man speak when a god speaks? Beware." She walked through Okonkwor's hut into the circular compound and went straight toward Ekwefi's hut. Okonkwo came after her. Ekwefi, she called, Agbala greets you. Where is my daughter Ezinma? Agbala wants to see her. Ekwefi came out from her hut, carrying her oiled lamp in her left hand. There was a light wind blowing, so she cupped her right hand to shelter the flame. Woye's mother, also carrying an oil lamp, emerged from her hut. The children stood in the darkness outside their hut, watching the strange event. Okonkwo's youngest wife also came out and joined the others. "Where does Agbala want to see her?" Ekwefi asked. "Where else but in his house in the hills and the caves?" replied the priestess. "I will come with you too," Ekwefi said firmly. "Tufia," the priestess cursed, her voice cracking like the angry bark of thunder in the dry season. "How dare you, woman, to go before the mighty Agbala of your own accord? Beware, woman, lest he strike you in his anger. Bring me my daughter." Ekwefi went into her hut and came out again with Ezinma. "Come, my daughter," said the priestess. "I shall carry you on my back. A baby on its mother's back does not know that the way is long."